Galatians chapter 5. You open there, we'll start. Galatians 5. Sometimes I ask somebody, hey, are you a Christian? And I get this, well, I'm trying. You know, this week I looked at some stuff I probably shouldn't have looked at. I argued with my wife all the way to church this morning. I yelled at my kids the other day, and they didn't really deserve it. And I'm thinking, did they not hear the question? Now, think about this for a minute. I hear that a lot, you know. Think about this for a second. My dad's gone on to his reward. Okay, you won't meet him anytime soon. Let's just, in your mind, let's make him alive again. Now, you go to a social event or something, and you meet my dad, Adam Kasperzak. That's his name. That was his name. And you run into him and you say, Adam Kasperzak, where did I hear that name before? And you meet him and you have supper with him, and like I say, the social event. And then later on, oh my goodness, my pastor's name is Adam Kasperzak. And so you put it all together. And then you see me and you say, I think I met your dad. Is your dad's name Adam Kasperzak? Are you Adam Kasperzak's son? And I'll say, well, I try to be. I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at this week, and I had an argument with my wife all the way to church, and I yelled at my kids, and I probably shouldn't have. Feel free to say, dude, you are an idiot. Because if you said that to me, I might not say that, but I would be thinking it, and you should write it down. I never say it to my sisters. Sometimes I say it to my brothers, you know, because they're knuckleheads, and sometimes they need it. The answer to the question, are you a Christian, is yes, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, or no. That whole cross thing, I haven't figured it out yet. I don't know, don't even want to know, don't care, don't want to care. But we don't try to be a Christian. We are by virtue of what Jesus has done for us. We don't try to be a child of our Father. It's a birth thing. Well, we're sons of God by new birth, okay? And it works out the exact same way. It's got nothing to do with your activity, and that's what we've learned through the first four chapters of the book of Galatians. Now, in chapter 5, now, if you're just here and you're visiting, you're gonna scratch your head and think, what is this all about? You have to figure that out. You and God have to figure out why you came here on this Sunday to hear this. Chapter 5, verse 1. We talked about this last week. We'll start here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Having been made free in Christ, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Stand fast in that liberty. What do you not want to do? You don't want to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, they're not, I know what a lot of people's thinking, there are Christians, they're super Christians, and there's little, you know, nominal Christians. Do you have nominal kids and super kids? Because I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering how your house works, because mine doesn't work that way. I have sons. Two of them. She gave birth to them. They're mine. That's all there is to it. We don't rate them. We don't, like, one's doing really good. He's my son. The other one's not doing so good. Well, he's not. Well, he's. You see what I'm saying? Now, Christ has made us the sons of God, and he's given us liberty. Liberty over what? Well, look at the context. Christ has made us free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What yoke of bondage are we talking about? Listen, I'm going to tell you. The law. Let me just draw this up for you. The Judaizers have come to town. Paul preaches this area of Galatia. It's this Galatian church. It's an area. It's not a city. And he was sharing the gospel, and people came to faith in Jesus Christ. And then people followed him and said, yeah, Jesus, but if you really want to be a Christian, you've got to do Jesus plus Moses. You've got to believe in Jesus, but you've got to keep the Mosaic law. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to do the diet. You've got to keep the feast. You've got to keep Sabbath. All that stuff they loaded on this Gentile church who's saying, I thought I was saved already. Now I've got to do all these things. And Paul has established in four chapters, there's no doing. It's not how you're behaving, it's what you're believing. There's no doing to become a Christian. There's only believing to become a Christian. And this is the standing firm, the standing fast. Don't let anyone put you a yoke of bondage again. The yoke of bondage he's talking about is the law of Moses. Now, That's an epiphany to some of us, because we thought, well, we had to keep a lot of do's and don'ts, and then God would rate us, and then we would go to heaven if we did all the dids and didn't do all the don'ts. And God would kind of like, you know, it's a little sliding rule, okay, you gave some money to church, pretty good. Oh, you took my name in vain, that's not so good. You thought life. Yeah, but you showed up and you were helpful and you were a nice guy, and then whatever it comes out, that's how you're going to be rated and you're going to go to heaven or not. Now listen closely, because you just showed up here this morning, you have no idea what's going on. The Bible knows nothing of that. That is not, shake your head till that idea falls right out. The Bible knows nothing of a God who grades on a curve. Who's, well, I got 10% I'm going to take into heaven this month. Last month if you died, you'd have been out. But nah, this month is kind of a slow month, so we'll let you in. And who is that God? How much of the law do you have to keep to go to heaven? Well, we're going to find out. You're not going to like the number, by the way. You're going to find that out in a verse or two. The Bible knows nothing of that God. Jesus sets us free. Stand firm in that freedom, and don't be entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Say, nobody wants to entangle me again in the yoke of bondage. Au contraire, they're out there. Oh, yeah, you're a Christian. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. You go to Calvary Chapel, don't you? They're so cute over there. Oh, my goodness, that Adam. They got Jesus right. But you know what else you need? And they're going to try to throw the handcuffs on you. They're going to try to give you this song and dance. And they're very persuasive. Listen, they'll say, it's 10 commandments. It's not 10 suggestions. And then they'll give you a line of reasoning like this. Still wrong, commit adultery. And you'll say, yeah. Murder's wrong, isn't it? And you'll go, yes. You don't take the Lord's name in vain. You don't think that's a good thing. You say, I don't think that's a good thing. And you'll say, right in the middle of all that, his, keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. And you think that one's doesn't count anymore. Listen, here's this thing. None of them count for righteousness. None of them, keeping them or not keeping them. You don't go to heaven by not committing adultery and by not murdering and by not taking the Lord's name in vain. It just doesn't work that way. And we've found out in 4 chapters, it doesn't work that way. Now, he's saying, don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. A lot of people, we talked about this, and this is where we ended up last week. A lot of people think that religion is bondage. Listen hard. I agree. Religion, out the window. Don't want it. Don't love it. Don't need it. Never wanted it. Never needed it. I had it, and I was lost as lost can be. I got Jesus into my life. Religion went away. And I agree with you. But what I hear people saying when they say, well, I don't need any religion, they're saying they don't need God. Now, that's a mistake. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You need God. You just don't need religion. And I'm never preaching, and I'm never promoting, promulgating, here, do religion. No, it's a yoke of bondage. I've seen that in my life. I try to do all the religious things. I kept falling short, and I'd redouble my efforts, and I'd fall shorter. I'm not putting you on that program. It doesn't work. It absolutely, positively doesn't work. Now, here we are. So don't be entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you. I ain't no Judaizer. I'm the Apostle Paul. Remember on the road to Damascus? Jesus, number one guy. The God of the universe showed up and said, Paul, I got work for you to do. And, he knocked him off his high horse, very literally, figuratively and literally. Lord, Christian word, what would you have me do? Now that you saved me, now that you've spoken to me, now that you've... He knew Jesus. He knew the cross. He knew the whole message. He didn't like it. And now he has to believe in it. He's confronted the one who is confronted by the one, rather, that has been raised from the dead. And listen, I'm Paul. Let me tell you how this works out. Let me tell you how this shakes out. And by the way, we looked at this weeks and weeks and weeks ago. Where'd you get this, Adam? Because, I mean, this is very... unnerving. If I put all my faith in Jesus Christ, you're telling me I'll go to heaven? Yes, I'm telling you that. But I'm doing a lot of religious things. It won't help. Are you sure you got that right? I'm positive. Where'd you get that message? I got it off Paul. Where'd he get it? He got it off Jesus Christ. Jesus showed up and said, this is the gospel. This is how people get to heaven. Put down the beads, creeds, deeds, smells and bells, religion, all the bells and whistles. You don't need that stuff. You need me. You need my blood. You need the cross. You need, I have paid the penalty for all your sins. And you need faith in me. That's what you need. Now, Paul, who got the message off Jesus, said to you, if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. In direct contradiction to the Judaizers who came along and said, oh, you're going to be circumcised. Most of you guys won't argue that point. Most of you guys, you've believed that. If by no other reason, necessity. I mean, how's your gospel going on the job site? You got to believe in Jesus. Oh, yeah, and by the way, you got to be circumcised. That's a weird gospel. It's what they're preaching. And they got Paul, we've at least established that because nobody's asked, come up in the last few weeks, I need a moil. Can you schedule that and get a Jewish guy in here with a very sharp knife and we can take care of business? Nobody's done that. So I think I at least got that much across. You don't need to be circumcised. If you are, Christ shall profit you nothing. What does that look like? It looks like this. If you come to my house, right, you go in the foyer, right, and I got a little Buddha off to the left. And you say, that's strange for Calvary Chapel pastor to have a Buddha. And I'm thinking like, how many hundreds of millions of people are Buddhist? And you'll say, that's really weird. And you come in a little bit more and there's a crescent and a star. It's 1.3 million Islam. You don't just dismiss that out of hand. And then I got a Veda and I got a little Hindu, what's that god of destruction? Kali. I got them all, okay? And finally I got a cross and that's in a special place because he's my number one god. All the others, I'm covering all the bases. I'm doubling down. Just be on the safe side. You're shaking your head. Hey, try that with wives. This is my number one wife of my whole, and she's the number, but I got these, and just in case this doesn't work out, I guarantee you it won't work out, okay? No, you don't want to do that. And I want to tell you something about God. He's a very jealous God. He doesn't want to be number one God in a whole list of gods. He wants to be number one in a list of one. He wants your whole life to be lived for him. He's not sharing with anybody else, just in case you're wondering. Because I do this. I'm talking about, just say it. I'm talking to my mom. She's very, very religious. And she's like, I believe in Jesus, but I got to do this and this and this and this. And she says, I'm covering more bases. She didn't say doubling down. She's not a gambler. But you understand she's doubling down. She's covering more bases. In case just Jesus isn't enough, well, wait a second. Do you understand the folly, the foolishness of that methodology? You believe in Jesus, or you don't believe in Jesus. You believe that he died on the cross to pay for all your sins, or you don't. There's no middle ground there. That's black, that's white. There's no gray there. We might make some gray. And that's why when I ask you if you're a Christian, and you say, well, I'm trying, you didn't get it. You didn't understand what I'm saying. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Do you believe by virtue of what he did on the cross, you're going to heaven? The answer is either yes or it's no. And it's got nothing to do with behavior. It's got everything to do with what you believe. Now, I've got some of you to the point where you're saying, okay, I got it. I got in to the family by virtue of what Jesus has done for me. I believe in Christ and I'm in. I don't believe it's by works of the law. But now, where's the law in my life? Because I still heard that guy who said, I'm not supposed to commit adultery, not supposed to take the Lord's name in vain, not supposed to murder, I'm supposed to keep the Sabbath. Makes a very compelling argument, does it not? Au contraire, mon frère, but look here. I mean, I just want to show you. I'm testifying again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Now, before you jump in, before you grab that knife and start doing bad things, you sure you want to get into this? You got to keep the whole law. Now, what am I saying here? Listen, how many laws are there? Anyone know the answer? We went over this. As far as how many you find in the Bible, how many laws are there? Oh, come on. 613. Can't suffer a witch to live. You don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. Shemitah year, when you possess the land every seventh year, you let it go fallow. You don't plant or harvest. When you do reap your field, right, you leave some for the poor. You don't go back and you don't glean twice. And you're thinking, I got intermittent, what's the tomatoes that keep coming indefinitely? They don't just come once. How does that work with, and you're trying to figure out, well, maybe just take some and I'll take it to the food bank. And that's kind of, because people don't generally go in my garden after I've gleaned and, you know. So you're trying to modify the law and figure it all out. Listen, so here you are struggling. How many of you guys actually do that? You go through it and you think, well, okay, don't cut the corners of my beard. I like that, actually. I got the old Duck Dynasty thing going. That's cool. And the next one says, don't suffer a witch to live. And I'm thinking, should I kill witches? That's illegal, isn't it? Yes, by the way, yes. Try to get a permit for that. Forget about it. Won't work. Do you want to? Do you want to kill witches? Do you not rather lead them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? I mean, if you were president, would you be hanging witches? Just wondering. So you're looking through, you're trying to think, well, okay, I'll keep this one. This one, I don't even know what that means. And you get to the dietary laws. Okay, can't have any bacon, can't have any shrimp. You mean if I give up on clam chowder, I'm going to be like this much holier? Cool, I don't really like clam chowder anyway. No, that's, you're from Maine, you have to like clam chowder. You get thrown right out of the state. We'll throw you out. So I get rid of the shellfish and pork and stuff, and now I'm super holy? So you're going through, wading through all this. It says don't eat bat, and you're thinking, amen, walking in victory. No bat in my diet. And you go through this, and you're trying to keep scoring, you're trying to do all this stuff. Listen, that's a fool's errand. 613 laws. Don't try to keep 612. You're missed. Didn't you see the verse? Listen. I'm testifying. I'm Paul. I'm the apostle. Let me tell you this. I know all about this. I was law guy. I was a Pharisee. Let me tell you how the law works. If I'm testifying to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. You've got to do it all, including not suffering a witch to live and not boiling a kid in its mother's milk and tithing and all the stuff. You got to do it all. And you're thinking, I give up. Ah, what a blessed place to come to. I did. I was doing religion. I was doing it as hard as I could. I was really working at it, and I was a failure. I give up. Lord, save me. He said, that's what I've been waiting to hear. Amen. Yes, yeah, yeah. You come into my forever family based on, and then I was like everybody else, trying to figure these things out. But I finally come to a place. 612 of these, keeping them perfectly, is no good. James tells us, if we offend in one point, we've broken the law. The wages of sin is still death. Now, how does it work then? Well, Christ has become of no effect on you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. Fallen from grace, does that mean unsaved? What does it mean like someone who, I'm thinking about getting saved, but I think I want to try the law avenue. I don't want to try the Christ avenue. Is that what it means? Because, I mean, this is pretty severe either way. So I got circumcised, I'm going with circumcision, I'm going with keeping the law. Not only just to get me saved, but now that I'm saved, I want to do all these things. I think God will be pleased with me. He won't. 613 of them. And I said it before. I was listening to a guy, and he was saying all the things I've been saying right along. It really kind of, a guy I had a lot of, like he really knew what he was talking about, and I always feel like I don't. He really bolstered my confidence. He was saying, like, God broke the law, so you can't keep it. There is no temple. There is no high priest. There is no Yom Kippur celebration going on anywhere. There is no temple to bring an animal to. You say, well, that's all that ceremonial law. He doesn't mean keeping that. I beg to differ. You can't pick and choose. Ceremonial law, who said that? The Bible says do this. So what's the purpose of the law? Oh, I'm glad you asked. To show us that we can't keep the law. To show us that there's only justification, there's only righteousness in Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of law. And that's what we work through in chapter 4, chapter 3 as well. I'm testifying, I'm telling you. You want to do the circumcision thing? Well, you got to do the whole law. Christ has become no effect to you. There is no doubling down. He won't share. You have faith in his blood alone, or you do not. You're trying to justify yourself by your good works, and it will never, ever work. And if it could, do you realize Calvary's become a meaningless exercise? I don't know about that guy in a tree, but I'm knocking it out of the park. I am Mr. Circumcised. I wear the little yarmulke. I got the prayer shawl. I go to Sabbath. I keep Sabbath. I go to synagogue every day. Twice on Saturday, I'm just Mr. Keeping the Law. I don't know what that stuff's all about. Do you realize that if you could make yourself respectable, if you could make yourself acceptable in God's eyes, except for, other than the cross, what's it all about? Why'd he die? For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The hope of righteousness. Is this a return of Jesus Christ? I think so. You know, every time the Bible talks about hope, I think it in the background, you can read this in Romans chapter 8 and notably in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We can go there. I think we have time. We can do this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I think the word hope is always a symbol or a signal for the Holy Spirit's talking about the return of Jesus Christ. He's talking about what we call the rapture of the church. We call the resurrection is a better theological term. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those which have fallen asleep. Now, falling asleep is a euphemism for those who have died. Say, I know the difference between death and sleep. Yeah, but the Bible doesn't, because you're getting up again. You remember when Jesus wakes up or resurrects Jairus' daughter? She's not dead, she's just asleep. What, does Jesus not know any better? No, he knows more than they know. Hey, we know dead when we see dead. She's dead, she's room temperature, she's pushing up daisies. No, you don't understand. She's just asleep. Why? Watch this. Hey, lamb chop. That's what he calls a little lamb, Talitha. Maybe it's her name. Maybe it's a pet name that he knows her by. I don't know. I think it's beautiful. Hey, lambikins. Hey, little lamb. Come on, get up. You know, King James is all stern. I say unto thee, damsel, arise. I don't know a Jesus like that. He's hey, lamb, come on. Raises her up. Why? She'd fallen asleep, dead. Here in 1 Thessalonians, we see this all through the New Testament too. Falling asleep is a euphemism for death. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those of them who have fallen asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Hope, there it is. He always mentions hope when he's talking about Jesus' return. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do, unapologetically, and we do, I think there's more a factual, actual, historical event, more empirically, provable than any other fact in history. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those who have died in Christ, right, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we shall not prevent as unfortunate, precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. When it's talking about Jesus come back for his bride, it always has this idea of hope. I can show it to you in Romans chapter 8 as well, other places. But I'm thinking here, for we through the Spirit, in verse 5 of chapter 5 of Galatians, for we through the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, we're waiting, we're eagerly waiting for the hope of righteousness. And how's that work? How does he give you a new body? By faith. Now, why does he put that here? Because here's what a lot of us think. You think when you get saved, he fills up your spirit tank, and now he's going to be working on your flesh tank and getting that up to where it's supposed to be. And this is why we keep the law, because it gives us points and it fills up that side of us. Because you know we're spirit and flesh. Listen, that is wrong theology. I mean, it's just wrong, wrong, wrong. When you get saved, your spirit is filled up. 100%, you're 100% righteous in Christ. Your flesh, it's at zero when you're saved. And when you die, it'll be at zero. God is not going to redeem your flesh. He's going to resurrect it because he has no hope. He has no faith in the flesh. Anything you even notice that everything you try to do for Christ in power of the flesh falls flat? He doesn't honor the flesh. He never honors the flesh. From Genesis to Revelation, that's one solid book telling you the same thing. I don't honor flesh. Flesh is vile to me. It's fallen. It's corruptible. Look at when verse 19. We're going somewhere with this, by the way. Now, the works of the flesh, they're obvious, they're manifest. They're these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That sounds something redeemable to you? Or something that needs to be put to death and raised anew? If any man being in Christ, he's a new creation. All things, they're passed away. All things are becoming new. Why? He can't redeem the flesh. It's broken. It's fallen. It can't be picked up. What he's going to do is he's going to give you new flesh. It's called the resurrection. Wonderful theology. I haven't got time for it. Right now, he's saying you're not going to fill up. You're spiritually 100% in Christ. You're physically zero, and you're never going to be anything else. The law won't sanctify you any more than it will justify you. What am I saying? I'm using theological terms. You're outside of the will of God. You're lost. You're a pagan. You're a heathen. He doesn't know you. You come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're justified. That's the theological term. It's just as if I'd never sinned. It's an easy way to remember it. Now, sanctification is we live holy. We live better lives. We try to please God, and then we're sanctified. And if we do all these things and don't do all, now we're already saved, but this is how we get more and more holy. Where'd you come up with that? Did you get that out of hell or something? No, Jesus gives you justification. He gives you sanctification. Now, there is a very practical way. I don't know how to say this right. I don't smoke. I never smoke. I don't drink, but I used to drink. I used to drink copious amounts of adult beverages and get thoroughly wasted back before I knew the Lord. My thought life wasn't what it should be. Big secret? You guys know that, right? Guys know. Women are shocked. They're all shocked. I can't believe you said that. My life was... I don't drink, right? My thought life, don't worry. I get things in check. I don't have thoughts like that. It isn't the way it is. There's things I used to have like a real... hot temper. I don't have a hot temper. You know me as a hothead? I get holler and shout and yell and get all angry all the time. I don't think you've ever seen rage in my life. Not that way. Why? Because Christ has done these things to me? I want you to understand this. We're walking with Christ, you become more like him. And by the way, we're going someplace here. After the works of the flesh, it's going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Temperance, think of it as self-control. I don't drink. Why? The Spirit of God's in my life, and I can show some temperance. I can show some self-control. I don't have to drink anymore. I'm a different person. But I don't want you to think of holiness as a sliding scale. It's not. It's a point. You've been made righteous in Christ. He's all the sanctification you need. Now, as you walk with him and learn about him, you become more like him, but you don't get any more saved. Do you understand that? And the law, not only will it not save you, it won't make you grow in grace. It won't make you holier than you used to be. It's not the law of Jesus Christ. The law of the Bible does not make you give up cigarettes, does not make you stop drinking or yelling at your wife. Or does not make you not bitter. All the things you want in your life, the Spirit of God will do, but the law won't. Now, I want you to figure this all out because I have Christians. Okay, you're not saved by the law, but now then they're going to try to introduce it another way. It don't work that way either. I said before, that dog won't hunt. That kite won't fly. That frisbee won't frizz. That it just doesn't work that way. It's not going to work that way. It isn't designed to work that way. It's okay, I'm back to Galatians 5. I'm going to get through here. We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. How do I get saved? Did you not? we nodding off? Circumcision is not going to work. Uncircumcision won't even work. Well, how does it work? Faith. I told you, it's what you believe, not how you behave. But faith, which worketh, how does that work? Well, it works by love. ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You were going good. Everything was going good, you Galatians. You were running in your lane. Who did hinder you, cut in on you, is the Greek here, that you should not obey the truth? You know how it is when you got runners running like in Olympic games or something like that, and they're doing like, a mile or something like that, whatever their, was it 5,000 meters or something? Isn't that their version of a mile? I don't know. I never did do the whole decimal thing. I don't know. So then the 5K race. They're running 5,000 meters. 5,000 meters, okay. No Ks. I don't know. Oh, so they're running about a mile. Let's go. We're back in America running a mile. There we go. And they're all in the pack. They start out in different lanes, right? And you can't be cutting into people's lanes, but you go a certain way, and then everyone's bunched up on the inside track. You've seen this, right? And then, like, somebody gets tangled up in somebody else's feet, and somebody falls down, and they don't even get up. They sit there and cry. You ain't going to get them winning that race. I mean, it's a fraction of a second, and you just lost that edge, whatever competitive edge you had. You're not going to get up and come back and catch everybody. And he's saying, well, who cut in on you? Who tripped you up? Who stumbled you? And he's looking at you. The goal's gone. Forget about it now. You ain't got no chance of that. Who stumbled you? He's talking to the Galatian church. The people come along and say, oh, yeah, the law, it's wonderful. God gave it at Sinai, and you've got to keep it and stuff like that. They're tripping you up. That's not, they're going to help you to run. Listen, if it did, don't you think I'd teach it all the time? Don't you think we'd keep Sabbath? Don't you think we'd do all things? I mean, if that worked, but we look at verse after verse after verse saying that's not the way it's designed. It's not how it works. It's never how it works. Circumcision availeth nothing. I don't know how else to say it. So we'll come at a different angle. Oh, yeah, okay, but Sabbath keeping availeth something. Really? Huh. And we talked about that. So you go into an elevator and you don't push buttons. You get an elevator that stops on every floor. Better living, better righteousness. You're holy, way holier than me. I push the button on the Sabbath. Now you're God saying, you're awesome, you don't push buttons. Yes. Really? Really? You give up clam chowder and now God's saying, you are doing it, just living the life. I'm so pleased with your progress. Really? Circumcision availeth nothing. Uncircumcision availeth nothing. But faith. You were running well. Who tripped you up? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Listen, most important verse. Okay, you've been checking out. You've been kind of in and out. You've been thinking about, oh, Patriots got a big game coming up today. What are going over to this house for dinner? You've been engaged. Back with me. This is important. Okay, this verse. Okay, this is it. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Who's him that calleth you? Capitalize it in your Bible. God. God calls you unto himself to be your forever child. He wants to be your forever father. He wants him to bring you in his forever family. He's called you. He's ecclesia, called out of. That's what the word means, and it's the word we use for the church. When you see the word ecclesia, it's translated church. It means called out. He's called, he said, come out from among the bees separate. Touch not the unclean thing. I receive you, saith the Lord. He wants to be a father for us. He's called us out of the world, right? The picture is when they're in Egypt, they're slaves. And Egypt is a picture of slavery to the world. And God calls us out of that to be his children. He's called you. Now this persuasion, this you got to be circumcised, that doesn't come from God. I don't know how else to say it here. Did he spell it right out in such a way that, how dare people argue this point, by the way? I know some people don't know any better, but some should. There are still people trying to put the shackles of legalism on us. How dare they? That persuasion does not come from God. It does not come from him who called you. If you are anti-religious, you like to go to church here, I think, because we don't like religion either. It doesn't come from God. So where'd it come from? I don't know if it was man's invention. I don't know if Satan was pushing. You remember when man sinned the first time? You remember, Garden of Eden, right? You don't really believe in the Garden of Eden, do you, Adam? Oh, I believe every word of this precious book. Oh, yes, I do. And God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day you eat of it, you're going to die. Eve, hey, what's that? It looks good. You know, dialoguing with the devil, always a bad idea. Where's Adam? Just being a punk, being a spineless jellyfish. He can go to Jeff's class. I'll tell you that right now. Adam didn't. He didn't man up. He didn't take care of business. You nasty old snake. You get away from my wife. You stop talking. I take dominion over you. God's give me dominion over everything. You don't be. That's what you should have done. Don't be sitting here telling her to be eating the fruit. God said don't do that. She ate. Here, Adam. Try this. He eats. Now they know they're naked. How'd they know they were naked? In the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They know good and they know evil. And they think they know gooder than God. You know what's going to, we got to hide. Why? They never hid from God before. Sin will make you want to hide from God. You're just as naked as a jaybird in front of him. He knows everything. These secret sins you think you're getting over, they're open scandal in heaven. He knows it all. And we want to hide. We want to grab some fig leaves and put our fig leaves around our private parts. There are no private parts with God. And let me tell you something about fig leaves. It's a man-made, oh, God made them. But you wearing them as clothing, that's a man-made institution. That's, in my thinking, is religion. God didn't say, hey, you're beautifully naked, not ashamed, there's nothing to be ashamed about, your husband and wife, it's grand and glorious and good, I want you to cover up. We don't want any of that nudity around here, God's saying. No, they're sinning, and what's the first thing they know? They want to cover up their differences. They want to get involved in religion. If it was a wonderful thing, when God comes and he does that, he interrogates, go ahead, Adam, where are you? And I think he's saying, where are you in light of what happened? He didn't lose them. Right, God, he's God, like every place in the world knows everything. Yeah, I left some people here. What happened to them? I lost track of them, God's saying. No. Adam, where are you now in light of what I told you not to do? Where are you? How did that work out, is what he's saying. He interviews them. Yeah, the woman you gave me, she gave me to eat and I ate. And I trusted her, Lord, more than I trusted you, is what he's saying. He came clean, I think. Everyone always makes it sound like he's trying to pass the buck. The woman you gave me, well, I guess wherever you put the emphasis. I don't put it there. I think he came clean. I think Adam's not an idiot, okay? Yeah, you gave her to me to be with me, and I listen to her rather than listen to you. Now God moves out in healing. Okay, interviews Eve. Yeah, the serpent tricked me and I ate. Good. We got repentance, we got confession. Now, God, let Papa fix it. Let Daddy, you broke it, let Daddy fix it, because that's how he is. So what does he do? Fig leaf's good. We'll laminate them. We'll keep the water off them. We'll throw some plastic coating on it. No. Get rid of those silly leaves. You look ridiculous. Fig leaves itch. I don't know if you've ever seen fig leaves. They itch. What are you wearing clothing like that for? So what does God do? He kills an animal, ostensibly, if you ask me, to keep typologically. He kills a lamb. Say wool? No, I think it's the leather part, but who can prove it, right? And he clothes them in that. And he's showing them. There's an object lesson here. Sin equals death. Someone has to die to cover you. Is this religion? No, this is Daddy fixing the bad situation. There's no religion. Religion is us covering up in fig leaves, which is both unavailing, itchy, and undignified. I ain't doing fig leaves for nobody. You say, I think you're reading too much into that. I don't. So here we have Jesus in the New Testament. He comes to the fig tree. Fig tree, huh? Coincidence? Coincidence isn't a kosher word. He comes to the fig tree and there's no fruit on it. And he curses it and it withers up. God still curses fig trees if you ask me. Why? No fruit. Religion? No fruit. No fruit, no fruit, no fruit, no fruit. God does not say, I want you to be religious. I want you to keep Sabbath. I want you to... No. I showed you all that just to show you that you could never ever keep it even if you wanted to. And now I've broken it in such a way you couldn't keep it even if you wanted to. I'm doing Yom Kippur this year. Who's with me? What? You're going to kill a goat? And bring it to what high priest? In what temple? And he's going to put it on what mercy seat? We couldn't keep the law if we wanted to. I don't want to. 613 laws, break one, you're all messed up. No, I'm just going to trust in Jesus, thank you very much. And these shackles that you're trying to put on me, no. Let me spell that for you. No, no, no. I'm going to stand firm in the freedom with Christ has made me free. I'm not going to be entangled again to a yoke of bondage. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Listen, well, I'm just going to do a little bit. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. How much leaven, yeast, do you need to put in the bread? And it all gets leavened. Here, typologically, it's sin. He's saying, wait, you keep the law, that's sin? The law's good. The law's good, Romans say, if a man use it lawfully. And if you're using it trying to either make yourself right before God, i.e. justification, or make yourself right before God, i.e. sanctification, you're not using it lawfully. That's not the way to use it. Little leaven leavens a whole lump. Listen, do you trust in Jesus or don't you? I'm telling you, if you trust in anything besides Jesus, that's sin. I'm quite sure about that. I could look it up, but I'm quite sure about that, okay? I want us to understand that. It's a really, really important point. A little leaven at the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Oh, you want to teach people they have to keep the law? You're going to meet with the boss, and he's going to straighten your theology out. And that's what the verse is telling. It's a threat. Those who trouble you, you are fat, dumb, and happy in Jesus. You love the Lord. You are singing praise to him. You love the song along. You're going to get circumcised. You're thinking, wait, what? What? That wasn't in the brochure. What? What? Those who trouble you, God will deal with them. I want you to rethink this out. You may have to have a shift in your theology now. Those who tell you you got to do all these things to maintain some sort of righteous walk with God, oh, God will deal with them. I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Listen, because some people said that he was actually teaching, when he was with the Galatians, he was teaching, no, you don't need to be circumcised. Then he'd go over here and teach the Jews, say, oh yeah, you need to be circumcised. No, he says, there's only one message. And if that was true like you say it's true, then why am I being persecuted? The reason he's being chased and hounded all over the Roman Empire, the reason eventually he's going to be beheaded, the reason he's in jail and shipwrecked and all this stuff is because he's preaching a message that religious people don't like. Welcome to my life. Welcome to your life. You show up and you say, I love Jesus. I love me. Save me. You just got to believe in Jesus. And religious people hate that. You know, because you have religious friends and a religious family. And they've been trying to do all the do's and not do all the don'ts. They're very high up on their own estimation, their scorecard. They got all the checks. They've been doing all these things. You come along. I love Jesus. He saved me. I don't know. That's all I know. And they hate that message, don't they? Here it is. If I was saying like they say, then how come I'm being persecuted? 75%. Isn't that what Bob said? 75% of Christianity is in persecution today in the world. Oh, it hasn't happened in America. You stay tuned, it will. And I wish it ended there. Verse 12, we'll end here. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Any questions? Good, let's move on to the next verse. Now, I have to deal with it. But it's not very pleasant, especially right before lunch. This verse may mean I wish those troubling you would have themselves castrated, my notes say. Close, no cigar. Now, let me tell you what he's saying. Those who are troubling you, who are cutting in on you as you're running, that's not from God. God's going to deal with them. I would that they, well, let's put it this way. A little circumcision, cutting off a little skin. Why don't they go varsity and just take care of business? A little bit is good, more is better. I wish they just cut the whole business. You're saying that's not what he's saying. Oh, yes, it is. And he gives me the unenviable task of presenting that. Why? Well, I don't want them procreating. I don't want them to pass this horrific gospel that's outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't want them passing that on. Oh, you think cutting a little skin, you think that makes you some holy? Well, here's a knife. Why don't you be very holy, he's saying. saying, he's not really saying it. He really is. Go ahead and study it. And what's the point? What's the point? That's what God's going to do to them is going to be a lot worse than that anyway. You people, you're trying to keep the law to maintain some sort of relationship with Jesus Christ. Think it all the way through. It's unavailing. It's going to end up in the wrath of God. And it's not going to do what you want it to do. Say, well, how do I keep the law? Oh, next week, we'll get there. Maybe not in the week after. We look at the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22. We'll end here, okay? Okay, I promise we'll. Look at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Is there a Mosaic law saying, don't have self-control, don't love, don't have joy, don't have peace? That's where we're going with this. That's where he's going with this. You know what? The law can't do it. The Spirit of God can. You doing a bunch of do's and don'ts is not going to make you like electric with God. The Spirit of God will connect you in such a way. I'm just trying to be Spirit-filled. And adultery doesn't come up. Murder doesn't come up. You think the Spirit of God leads me into hate? I hate that guy. I want to kill him. That's the Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you that right now. Being filled with the Spirit, we'll get there. He's not just leaving you, but in the interim, don't, whatever law you're into, forsake it. Repent. It's not a good, it's not right. It's not. I know. That's a weird place to end. We'll stand. We'll pray. Matt will send us out of here in song. Lord, we don't hate your law. We love your law. It tells us a lot about you. We study it. We love it. We regard it. We just know it doesn't save us, and we thank and praise you for it. It reveals your heart and your mind toward us. But we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, which has saved us. I mean saved us and made us your child. We thank and praise you for that. Lord, I know there are people around the sound of my voice who just haven't understood this yet, and they're still on the outside looking in. Today, Lord, let this be the day they find salvation in your blessed Son. Whether they come and speak to me after or pray with somebody, whatever mechanism you use, Lord, I'm totally good with that. But, Lord, don't let anyone go out of here, out to that world out there, outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, do the work in us that only you can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.